Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this 15th day of March. The Ides of March ring deep into the annals of history and foretell a day in the ancient world when the political world changed. We may be in such times right now. It's hard to say yet, but I think we all know why what we're going to be talking about today. It's a worldwide situation that we all have to face and come to terms with as peacefully as we possibly can. I'm sorry for the slow start, but it seems to be that a lot of things are not working optimally at this point in time. So we do the best we can with what we have, and we move forward with a positive spirit and, as always, a positive expectation. I like to think about the people who crossed the ocean with Christopher Columbus. They just about killed him several times because they thought they were going to die, starve, or perish from dysentery or some other ominous threat, including storms at sea. They couldn't see what was beyond the line, the demarcation line, of what they were suffering. Only God really sees beyond the demarcation line of what we suffer, and sometimes we all suffer together. This happens to be one of those times, and it does call us together. So I would like to open our calls up to those who want to speak. Let's keep our conversations down to, well, shall we say, essentials without too much elaboration, because I think we all know what's going on, and we're all worried about the same thing. Let's get to the point of what we have to contribute to each other, or to the point of what we need to ask of each other. So, Tony, I'm going to bring you on first. You and I had a very interesting conversation last night that I thought might be quite relevant today.
Thanks, Glenda. It's good to be here with everybody, and great to talk with you. There's things happening in the sky. We have an equinox, and the equinox is going to be on the 19th. So that's, tomorrow's the 16th, 17th, 18th. I think that's Thursday. And what we have right now as well, and this is an element, an aspect of the equinox as well, we have Jupiter and Pluto together, actually Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn. And this is rare. Jupiter and Pluto only are together once every 13 years. And especially now, because we're preparing for a new Jupiter-Saturn cycle, which starts in December. It's actually on the solstice, December 20th. So we have like a 9-month period, is a gestational period. And right now, Jupiter and Pluto are now within about 2 degrees. And one of the things that comes with that energy, the Jupiter-Pluto energy is different. And last year, we had the domination of Saturn and Pluto. Saturn and Pluto are still close, but now we're getting the movement and the closeness of Jupiter as well. And Jupiter and Pluto have some very interesting characteristics. One of the ways it speaks to me, what Spirit says to me about it simply, is we have the potential with this synergy, Jupiter, growth, Pluto, transformation. So we have the possibility of growing beyond our challenges. And this is actually something that you mentioned, Glenda. You mentioned this in context of the reality that we can grow beyond our problems. You mentioned this months ago, and I was really touched by that. Yeah, go ahead with what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it goes back to everything that was in our seminar called "The Only Way Out Is Up." Pluto symbolizes that pressure that occurs every now and then to force us to transform. we're not allowed to become stagnant, no matter how much we like our comfort zone. Life doesn't allow us to just get in a cozy blanket and stay there. We are required to grow. We're required occasionally to transform in that growth. And the transformation can either roll us under or roll us over. And Jupiter, as the optimistic planet representing expansion, offers a great incentive to transform through expansion. Whatever life brings you, take it and expand with it. If you got one fish, multiply it and make 500. I have come through a lot of crises in the last few years, mostly financial, some other in the sense of losing loved ones, but mostly financial. And I would find that one of my greatest benefits was charity. I would give to others, and then I would get 5 times back. Whereas if I sat on my pity pot and thought about how little I had, that's exactly what I would get, little and less. So what you think about is a definite transformative power. Thought activates transformation, and Jupiter activates expansion. That would suggest whatever you think about will get bigger. So be careful what you think about. That's what I would say. And I would say spend a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in positive social gatherings, a lot of time in positive social communication, interacting with people on, well, okay, what do we do about this? I know we can take a lemon and make lemonade out of it. I know we can. What do we do with this? So that's the kind of energy I see in that. And it's not so much that the universe causes this upon us. It's that we are all part of the universe. And within each of us is the universe. So we're just getting a look. You might say the planets mirror us. They give us a reflection back from a very high plane of exactly the potential that's going on inside us. So we look at it for the information it brings us. Not because it's going to be like a lord of destiny and impose some rigid formula upon our life. No, this is what our life is going through, and it's simply reflecting it back to us. Wouldn't you rather see as not to see? And so I leave that optimist, that spirit of optimism with you. Was there anything else you would like to add to that, Tony?
No, that's beautiful, and I love the way that you summarized it, Glenda. I just want to mention really quickly, thanks and a continued blessing for Judy's sister, who's going through chemo, and our family friend, Zach Snyder, for the whole Snyder family and for Zach's treatment.
Okay.
He's also going
good
through chemo, but for an intestinal problem. And yeah, that's pretty. Oh yeah, our friend Stevens had a heart attack recently, but recovering well. Yeah,
very good.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tony, for everything you contribute to us from that larger perspective every Sunday. And we're gonna open the line to Stormy. Stormy comes from trans outer space. So we'll see.
Yes, Glenda. Just before I got on the call, I saw on my phone internet how my soul is singing by the people who in Italy are singing and dancing on the balconies while in quarantine. Oh, that just makes my soul sing, and I can hear all of us together in one voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all I want to say. You know, and let's keep singing the hallelujah song. Thank you, dear one, and we pray for you. I'm going to open the line to Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hi, community. Hi, Glenda. I just want to say that last Sunday I went to a play, and 2 days later I got sick, and I went, oh, my God. And a few days before that, I got like a clean bill. Everything was good with the cancer center and so forth. But thank God I decided to use my pendulum again. And I said, well, should I be tested for this, you know, this virus? And it came back clear, no. I said, well, do I have it? No. I said, you know, so I it was so good. I said, just do what we tell you to do. And it's not even a week, and I'm feeling a million times better. So I'm
that's great.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, really, I'm doing things that if I was in the hospital, they wouldn't be doing for me because they don't understand this stuff. So, you know.
That's right. That's
they
right.
They really don't. So it was a blessing. They said, just, you're fine, you're fine. And considering I'm, you know, at high risk, you know, for this because I, you know, I have cancer. And so that puts me there. This was a blessing. I went out today and, you know, because I felt I was well enough to go out. And I did something I do now in the car every day. I was told that in the car that I should bless everybody on the roads with me. If you want to be safe, bless them for safety and you'll be safe. So I decided to take the same approach in the supermarket and bless every single person, you know, with me, that they be free of the virus.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and
yes.
And that takes away my fear. And,
exactly.
In addition to the, you know, the Purell, I mean, it's not that I wouldn't do that, but in addition to that, it's praying for, you know, everybody I meet, everybody I'm around, and it gets me through the way God would have me get through. And that's what I want.
That is,
I meet, you know.
So true. That is a great testimony.
I had to share that with my community.
You said it all.
I had to do
that. Oh, you said it all.
You know, for the Christ blessing, I have three people I'd like to put on. That is Jerry, Richard, and Perry. They're going through a tough time with cancer.
Okay.
So that would be that. And blessings to all my loved ones on this community, in this community.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. And you're a blessing to us. And what you said is exactly, in another dimension, what I said about financial, you know. I would just not worry about what I have, and I would give to others, and God took care of me. You know, Yeshua said, love one another as you would love yourself. And therein is the secret. I'm going to take one more call, and then I'm going to make a commentary about my perceptions of the world and the situation that we're facing. Tara Kim, welcome. I'm going to open your line. And you're on.
Hi, I actually had just signed on to let you know I could hear you earlier, so I didn't really have anything to share today.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, blessings to you.
Thank you. And
well, I don't want to get into any kind of preaching about what's going on because, A, I think most of us don't really know the real story. And there's a lot going on that's not being told. And there are a lot of statistics that are not probably reliable. But I do want to comment on human nature and on a simple axiom we can count upon, and that is that there's no disease that kills more people than fear. Fear is what drove the Nazis to kill the Jews. Fear is what caused all of the racial discriminations and horrors we suffered before and after slavery. Fear is what causes people in the inner city to commit crime. fear is what causes domestic violence. There is nothing. Fear is what is causing terrorism. There is no disease. There is nothing that can cause us harm and death like fear. That is axiomatic. And do whatever you can to rid yourself of fear while still remaining, shall we say, prudently cautious. You know, you eat right, you sleep well, you lock your doors, you drive safely, you bless other people on the road, you exercise courtesy in all things, consideration in all things, and good discernment in all things. There is a balance point you can arrive at, and now that we are moving into the equinox, it would be a lovely challenge for you to balance caution against fear. It'd be a lovely exercise. Optimism against frivolous irresponsibility. We need to stay optimistic, but not frivolous in our carelessness. We need to be cautious, but not fearful. We need to arrive at this balance point in life and get our good sense about us. Now, there's no question that we have a dangerous virus running amok around the planet. But if we can trust statistics, and that's a bit, here comes a little bit of fear again, but not really, because I want to balance my mind with what the news can tell us. It was running rampant in China only a week ago. And yesterday there were only 34 new cases, which means they're getting some control over it. That's good news, folks. That's good news that we can exercise good sense and gain some control until scientifically and hygienically and with just good use of human conduct, we can get past this crisis. Not too many decades ago, we had an Asian flu that killed over 1 million people, but we didn't make that big a to-do about it. You know, we didn't bring out the, we weren't on the edge of martial law. We weren't on the edge of national panic. Of course, we were grieving about our loved ones being ill and the ones we lost. Of course we cared. And science went right into action, and that's actually what promoted all of the research to bring forth the flu vaccination. Now, whether you're a pro or con person on the vaccination, there's no question about the fact that the use of them has affected the spread of flu. Sometimes they miss the mark, and they don't get it right. Some years, they get it right, and it works well. Some people have contest against some of the chemical ingredients that are in the flu vaccine, but compared to a rampant flu that could kill millions, I would say that's a minor consideration. Overall, though, the point I want to get to right now, because this has to do with us, rekindling our faith, rekindling our love in one another, and getting back a little bit of smart sense from our heart to our brain, and just objectively look at how people are reacting. We have large Walmart here. We have a large grocery store chain here. The first aisles to empty out in both stores were the paper products aisles, primarily toilet paper, and then paper towels, paper anything, emptied the stores, And then the minute they would restock, they emptied it again. And they emptied again. And they limited the number that you could buy. And they kept emptying. And they started bringing the trucks in at midnight. And people would be there at 1 o'clock to get toilet paper. Okay, now, I want to draw a comparison to that. There were aisles and aisles of canned foods. That would include meat and vegetables and fruits. Now, this may not be the finest of cuisine. It might not be your healthiest choice compared to fresh. But all of these canned products were created before the virus existed. And they're safe. They were being cleaned off the shelf. Yeah, I mean, if you're going, what? No, they weren't being cleaned off the shelf. I went down, I could get anything I wanted off of those shelves. I stocked up with all the food I would need to get us through a month. I didn't bother with toilet paper because there's always a bucket of water. My Lord, really? Really? Friends, if you don't have food, you don't need toilet paper. I can't hear you laugh, but I know you are. So what does this really tell us? People were not afraid of the virus nearly so much as they were afraid of being quarantined. They were afraid of the lockdown. In other words, it was fear being afraid of fear itself. There's your proof right there. Otherwise, what you were seeing as tangible, reflective evidence would be complete madness, craziness, irrationality, food still in the store, and all the toilet paper gone. You got to be kidding. Really. And all the water gone. Now, the water was the next thing to go. Well, okay, they're not going to shut down our public water supply, and all you have to do is boil it. You see, it's the lockdown they were afraid of. The martial law they were afraid of. They're afraid of the political venues that might be implemented because of this. What will we do to survive against force? Force against force. Well, that tells me there's a lot in the head and heart that needs to go down the toilet. I won't say those words in a very crude form, but I'll let you put them there. And it won't be undigested food. It's a lot of purging in the mind and heart that needs to go down the toilet, and you don't need toilet paper for that. We need to get over our fear. Compared to the rest of the world, we're really blessed. We are really blessed. Our medical science is as good as anywhere in the world, and our hospitals are not overloaded. And the facts are, if this flu, this coronavirus, which is just another form of flu, is caught in the early stages, it's as easily correctable and no more dangerous than the common flu. The problem is, we don't know how to treat it yet. It's new. It's never been here before. It's never been here before. That's it. And it's causing great fear in people. People are wondering, has it been created as a form of terrorism? Has it been, is it some kind of punishment coming to us from the depths of hell? What is this? We better be afraid. We better, you know, I want to bless the heart and soul of everyone on this planet. This is worse than the forest fires that we blessed a few weeks ago, because this is a forest fire of the soul. And my friends, my children, my family, my loved ones, we need to put out the fire. we need to claim the sacred waters of God to put out the fire. And then we will be logical about what to do, sensible, caring, compassionate about what to do. We will do as Susan does. She goes into the grocery store unafraid, and she's actually more vulnerable than most of us. But she went to the store, and she blessed everybody. She came out of the store, and she was fine. I have one other practical suggestion for you. I sent it in our Friday newsletter, and there's no claim of curing in this, but it's something in the essential oil community that was put together by four thieves in the great plague of Europe, the bubonic plague that killed millions of people. Well, they would just leave the bodies lying on the street, and some of the bodies had gold in their teeth, or they had jewelry or gold coins in their pockets, and the thieves wanted to steal what they could, but they wouldn't dare touch the bodies for fear of catching plague, because there was no remedy for it. So they came up with this mixture of essential oil that has existed under the name of Four Thieves for these many hundreds of years, until one corporation decided that it would form a trademark on that name that had been in free public domain for 600 years. And everyone else who was using that name was asked to cease and desist. Of course, they can't stop us from making the formula, because the formula is in open domain. But we renamed ours something that's a lot more positive, and it's got the same power. It's called Medieval Miracle. So we ordered extra supplies of it, and one of the things I would recommend, instead of common hand sanitizers, because it's been proven that the hand sanitizers have no effect on this virus. So even though you go into Walmart or your local grocery store and you pull the little cloth and you wipe off the cart, not going to do any good. Or it could do good against other types of bacteria. So I'm not saying don't do it, but it's not going to get COV. It's just not going to get COVID. It's not. And I don't know. I can't promise you that Medieval Miracle will either, because we don't have test cases for it. But it did stop the plague. And that was a really powerful thing that scourged Europe and killed millions of people. So I would say it's a good, hopeful preventative, and a great way to use it is to get also a 1/4 ounce bottle of our essential oil, fractionated or distilled coconut oil, because it's the same molecular size as essential oil, so it blends perfectly with an essential oil and absorbs as quickly as an essential oil. And we offer the spray caps to go with it, which puts a light misting on your body. So it's just a very light, silky misting on your hands and your arms. You rub it around, and 3 minutes later, it's all soaked in. And you smell great, and you've got that protection. And I carried around a small bottle of the Medieval Miracle and use it like an inhaler. I just inhale deeply so that it goes into my nose. And I don't put it in my nose because essential oils are too hard on the mucous membrane. But you can inhale it, and the molecules will go deep into your respiratory organs and provide a nice little protection. And we don't have proof. We don't have proof that it would stop it, but I would lay my bets that second only after prayer and love, well, I would say third only after prayer, love, and blessings, that might be the best thing to reach for. So we have plenty of it on the way, and you might want to take a look at it. I'm going to take another couple of calls. Joni, I see you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I've adopted kind of a little different take in spiritual practice during this. As you know, I'm very involved with animals and so forth. And the family of virus is really, it's a species. And there are many of them. And
oh, yes.
Most of them, of course, we carry them around, I would say probably a lot. But they wait for that space to open before they emerge.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I think what I'm sort of intuitively getting is that it's that space of fear that has brought them, that sort of heightens it, as it were. And in some ways, they do seem to mirror a lot of the lower qualities of humans, that conquest and destroy attitude, and in that they're sort of teaching us a tremendous amount about ourselves. So what I've been doing is sending love to them, infusing them with love, reminding them to go back to their more benign existence and mutation, and that giving them the respect that as a species, all species really are equal. Humans are not. We've made ourselves believe that we are in total control of everything and we are superior. Well, no, we're not. You know, every species, whether it's a bee, a virus, an aardvark, you know, we all have our place and our gifts and are blessed by God. And what the message is, I think, that I keep sending is for all to go back to peaceful coexistence, peaceful cohabitation, and one of trust and one of equality amongst, you know, a more horizontal way of seeing the lineup in the world, not this hierarchical pyramids with humans in total control. Because quite clearly, if you haven't gotten the message, we really are not in control. And everything on this biosphere is so finely tuned. And even something
absolutely
invisible as the virus can take over the whole world, right?
Yeah.
So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you're mirroring. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're mirroring exactly what I said. You know, fear is what I'm seeing as the real disease.
The real
disease is fear.
Absolutely. And to you can't.
And the virus is just the virus is just accommodating us so that we can have a good look at what fear can do.
Yeah. And what
We just need to put fear back in our pocket and love one another.
Yeah, and the color, because their colors have vibration, as you know, as an artist, and they have messages. And the color, every time I think of it or hear it, I see bright, hot pink or fuchsia. I mean, you know, a real gutsy love. And that, and to emphasize that it's the love that has got to be and always is really in control, whether we, you know, but.
Yeah,
you know, we will tamp it down with fear. So when you think of it, you know, I've taken to even wearing a lot of hot pink, which is not my color, and I do feel a bit like a Barbie doll, but what the heck, if it's for the planet, I'll do it. But, you know, that symbolism, that no, love is in control here, not fear, love. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Joni. That's great. I love it. Well said. Okay. And Kathy, you're on.
Yeah, Glenda, I was just going to kind of say the same thing that Joni was saying. And what I was thinking about when I was praying about this one day was what you wrote about in Love Without End when Yeshua calmed the storm. And you had the discussion about how he did that. And he was saying that he found the love inside of the storm. And the way I remember that you told it, correct me if I got it wrong, was that he mentioned that love will never hurt love. And that he just loved the storm and said, you know, you won't hurt us because we're love too. Is that about
that's
the way
exactly
that you...
Right. Yeah, that's almost a direct quote. You know, put it into your words, but it's exactly right. So that's a good thought to have, and all of us just keep on doing the best you can do with what you have. Keep on loving, keep on blessing, and don't let yourself move into fear. Because fear is the root cause of all disease, all unrest, all danger. You can go onto YouTube and find numerous videos where man-eating animals, lions, tigers, and others can run up and hug a person that they love, who loves them. So there's no limit to what love can do. We just really haven't learned the lesson yet. And let's hope we do soon, because this is a challenge for us. At this point in time, the earth is going through a great, well, I would say all of humanity is getting ready for a great metamorphosis. And it's really important that we go through this metamorphosis with love. And this is our opportunity to put it to the test and come out with a winning gold star. Okay?
Right.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks,
you're welcome.
Kathy. And Sarah, you're on.
Aloha, Glenda, and this beautiful community. This is Sarah sending so much love and blessings. I so appreciate having this community today and every day. And I wanted to offer just the most beautiful quote by Thich Nhat Hanh that I feel like relates so much to this. And he said that when the crowded Vietnamese refugee boats met with storms or pirates, if everyone panicked, all would be lost. But if even one person on the boat remained calm and centered, it was enough. It showed the way for everyone to survive. So my prayer is just that we all just, that we are the one to remain calm and centered and in touch and having faith with God, and that others look to us. We're all leaders. We're all teachers in that way. And I want to offer Esther a special blessing for my mom and my dad, and really for all the moms and dads, especially who are in their wisdom years, that they may be safe and protected. And I want to offer a prayer or ask for a blessing for just all of the students and teachers, and may the learning continue, and may we learn new ways from this, and that any young children who feel afraid, that they have comfort and safety when they're not in school. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. That's a beautiful, beautiful request and beautiful poem. And God bless you. Stephen, you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Stephen Adler, and I just wanted to say that I remember reading, and I think he's the Yeshua, that Yeshua had said that, you know, it's futile to war against the microbial world because they have, you know, instantaneous access to the entire gene pool of their kingdom, and therefore will instantaneously mutate, so in defense, you know, if met with aggression. And so I just want to say that I think the best strategy is to love all the viruses, you know, actually, and because that's really the only way that we can work with them and have them, you know, go along their merry way and work within us synergistically. And time and time again, it's science has proven as soon as they come up with some sort of, you know, whatever weapon against the virus just mutates or the bacteria mutates. And I've seen, there's a great YouTube. I've posted on my social media a few times of a Harvard study where they put, you know, bacteria on a petri dish and then they put a antibiotic. It was a time-lapse photography. But it was amazing to see how the bacteria in real time just mutated to get past the antibiotic. And then they put on a stronger, they put a stronger one on or a different one. And then again, it would just mutate again. It just kept mutating to get past each and every antibiotic wall. And I think the viruses do the same thing. And so it just doesn't even make sense. It's not even logical, actually. At that point, at this point, it's not even logical to, like, whatever, develop vaccines and this whole stuff. I think it's just strictly, again, this lesson facing us in the face of, like, no, we need to love. You know, love is the only cure for fear. And so we just need to love the viruses. So anyway, I just wanted to offer that. I know Yeshua, I think, said it in Kizi Yeshua, if I remember, but that's just a healthy, I think this is just a healthy reminder of the power of the love to transmute DNA. You know, I think it was Dean Radin at the Noetic, was it Ions, or he did that famous study proving that, you know, DNA is altered by love. So it's
It's been proven many times, altered by love.
Yeah, anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I just want to also continue to just ask for a blessing for my sister and my good friends Shane and Vanessa, and just for myself, my own healing path and journey. So thank you so much, and much love to you.
Oh, thank you, Stephen, and much love to you, too. I think we're all pretty much saying the same. We're feeling and saying the same thing, which tells me we are a strong community. We come with a little different contribution. Each person has a different experience, and that's why we're unique. That's why we're in unique and divergent situations, so that we can get a different perspective on this grand universe that we all belong to. We have one more caller, wireless caller, area code 435.
Hey, Glenda, it's just Blake again.
Hi, Blake.
Hi, you all. Yes, I just wanted to add on to earlier the comments made about you know, the peace and holding the peace, especially in times like this, when everyone has, you know, planetary and global focus on things. I think that it's actually a really good opportunity to remember a collective shared consciousness. You know, especially in, like, for a similar sake, like 9/11, when that went down, everyone was focused on that event, you know, and to me, again, I love that the 100th monkey phenomenon, which I found that study, years before I even came across, what Yeshua had told you about the proof that there is a collective shared consciousness, and that, by a few people, you know, holding a certain mindset or holding a frame, they can actually shift the mind of many, because we all are one. And y'all, I hope that in saying that, you know, when you're out and about in the public, like, remember the vibes you're putting out there too. And, you know, and the collective needs our peace and your peace individually now more than ever. And this can be a beautiful chance for us to inject some peace, because everybody's center focused and everyone's attention is on the same thing right now. And so I think that even in that, there can be a really good opportunity to shift that around. And, you know, and out and about, I've been having my roommates do this with me too, is like, we'll just walk around the neighborhood. Just, you know, we'll all do it individually and just, like, do our own little prayer around the neighborhood and our own little prayer around the community and our own little, you know, and even if we have, like, you know, sniffles a couple of days or, like, allergies, like, I think allergies have been flaring up a lot too, and people are missing the shift in weather. I know. I've definitely had some allergies flaring up. Heck, last week I had to take two Benadryl. You know, got me really good. You know, and Benadryl's, you know, Benadryl can be fun sometimes, but, you know, I think that people miss that, you know, we can mistake symptoms for other things too. And we have to be aware of like the changes of seasons too, that we just came across. Flowers are starting to bloom, pollen's in the air. Don't freak yourself out just yet. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And, you know, this is going to fade away. We're going to get through it. This is, everybody, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it and be stronger on the other side of it. We're going to love each other more than we did on the other side of it. And let's just work together and stay in our faith and, be conscious and mindful about what we do, what we say, how we think, and every day pray. Every day pray.
Oh yeah. And blessings to you all. You know, keep blasting the peace and love. And you know, and I can't remember who just said it before, but about loving the storm. You know, when we love something, I think it can mean something different for everyone. For me, when I'm loving something or showing something love, I see the beauty and miracle that it is, that it even exists. And that's where I focus on it. And, you know, it's really hard to see that paradoxically, but when you're out and about, people, anyone listening, like keep looking at everyone around you with eyes of love. The energy will make an absolute difference.
Mm-hmm. It will. It will. It certainly will. Okay. Well, everyone, in this beautiful community, we thank you for coming today, and I think it's about time that we all shared a blessing. So, blessing givers, will you join me? And everyone else, please just sit and take a deep breath. Hold it. And another. Uncross your arms and legs so the energy can flow. Feel yourself connect with the earth if you can. Have your feet bare on the ground or the floor, if that's possible. If not, then connect with the ground any way you can. Okay. Now, have your head uncovered if you can, unless your faith requires a covering during prayer or sacred times, but at least have something natural over your head, okay? And what I want you to do today, very special thing, I want you to let your attention fall into your heart. And I want your heart to give praise, gratitude, and glory to God for all of creation. All of creation, knowing that it all belongs together. It's all intertwined, and it's all part of who we are. We seek for our most perfect place in that creation so that we may be voices of love and hands of service. And we may be leaders in positive grace and spirit within our community. But at this moment, I want you simply to consider how loved you are. Even if you feel unloved before this moment, I want you to take one moment and feel how loved you are. Not just by one person, but by the fact that you exist. By the fact that the universe came together at one miraculous point in time and space to create your life. It loved you enough to give you life. It loved you enough to give you perceptions that would be of value to the rest of life. It loved you enough to ask you to be a servant back unto it. And now, accept the blessings of life to you, which shall be given through and by the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the energy of the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you are always with us, even when we don't see you. You don't care that we don't see you because you have no vanity that requires that. You simply are here because you love us and because we were created like unto you. We thank you for all the blessings that come into our life because you're with us. We thank the Holy Spirit for guidance daily, for catching us before we make a wrong thought or have a wrong feeling. We thank the Holy Spirit for filling us with understanding and enlightenment. And most of all, we thank our Father God that we exist at all, that he saw fit to make us like unto himself, someone who can actually behold the universe and receive the universe unto ourself. All these things we ask in the power of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's for you to go and finish receiving by just being in a neutral space of peace, quiet, and love. Rest in the arms of God and allow your body, heart, and soul to be nourished and nurtured. Bye-bye for now.